Get Up with Christian Bodge. On the Mid-North Coast's hit.
That's right. Christian Bodge for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie this morning. And Christy's already got a bee in her bonnet.
Oh, this damn bloke that does the lists of things that he just likes to, I don't know, label them in top tier, the bottom tier and all this. There's a new one that was released and I'm not happy about it.
All right. So while Christy wipes the rabid foam from her mouth and starts again, Bruno Boucher, Sydney father, is infamous for his power rankings lists.
Mm.
He goes from God tier to royalty tier to, you know, all the way down to a cat vomit tier. So what he does is he ranks different foods, different items, different products between how good they are and how bad they are, and they are non-negotiable, and Christy is absolutely filthy.
He's going to face me in a real, real big debate about this
I dare
very
you,
soon.
I dare you to call him what you called him just before off air. Well,
right, I'll do that when we introduce him.
Yeah, I dare you to do that.
Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
We've got the list king himself, Bruno Boucher, on the line with us.
And I have to say, what's your name, Bruno Bouchit?
What are we, in year three again? Yeah, okay.
You and I have a major issue because it's like you've taken my own list and flipped it on its head. You've got it completely the wrong way.
Well, these are Cadbury chocolates. I mean, it's he can't get it wrong. He's the list king. It's in the name.
But who puts in the God tier, the very top tier, fruit and nut?
Listen, I know what you're thinking. You think that you're just some like young upstart millennial. Oh, fruit and nut. That's what my parents used to eat.
Yep.
No. Fruit and nut is the original gangster of the Cadbury block world. It's paid its dues and over the centuries, and I'm sure I'm wrong in saying that, over the centuries that it's been around, it's been an absolute touchdown each and every time. Yeah, okay. It's got a bit of fruit. It's got a bit of nut. Guess what? It is what it says it is, and you've got to admire that. What a great chocolate.
Now, Christy,
let me tell you, you're in the wrong. Everyone that's listening right now would be a fan of fruit and nut. You won't have a single listener that doesn't like fruit and nut.
I'm a fan of fruit and nut, and as soon as you started trying to defend the point, she arced up in her chair, her bumhole probably went tight, and then she's sitting there and she's just waiting for you to say it. So she just wants, go on, tell me you don't like fruit.
I hate fruit.
What about nuts? Do you like a bit of nuts?
But hang on, hear me out. Do you not get the little bit stuck in your teeth and can't stand it?
Part of the fun.
Yeah, you're right. Bodge is 100% right. Isn't it fun, say you had some fruit and nut at midday, and then you're cruising around at night, maybe 7, 8 o'clock at night, and then a little bit dislodges from between your teeth, and you go, hey, I've got a little bit of nut. It's a little reminder of how sweet life can be.
Exactly.
And then you get that foul aftertaste of the fake jelly-like fruit.
All right. She's getting angry about it. She doesn't agree with it. We've got to move on, though, because you've got the God tier, royalty tier, the Adam Sandler take it or leave it tier, and the pleb tier, cat vomit tier, is underneath that. So there's a lot of chocolates to dissect here. We'll start with the bottom, Caramilk, which I think is foul and
number
disgusting.
One.
Now, Christy thinks that's the best.
Mm-hmm.
No, look, we all know that the way, and look, I know this for a fact, 100%, that the way that Cadbury make caramel is they get a vat of perfectly good white chocolate, and then they throw in three buckets of yuckiness into it, right? That's how they make caramel.
It's true.
Right? We all know that. It's not a secret anymore, all right?
No, it still tastes like caramel, and caramel's the best. And you've got Top Deck as the bottom.
And then Morrow, I'm happy to put that in it. No one even knows what a Morrow is, let's be honest. It's like
a fake Mars bar.
Audi Mars bar. The pleb tier, I was a bit surprised to see milk chocolate, the standard one there.
My problem with it, I guess, whatever, it's fine, but I see it as the missionary position of Cadbury block chocolate. It's there. It's like, oh, all right, we've been married for 20 years. All right, let's have a bit of dairy milk chocolate. You don't really want it, do you?
No, not when there's better stuff out there. Crispy mint creams in there in the pleb tier. Crunchy and Booster also in the pleb tier. The Adam Sandler, the take it or leave it tier, and this one's kind of up to your own interpretation of what you like. Hazelnuts there, I don't mind it. Caramello, no.
Needs
S'mores,
to be higher.
No. Really? Caramello, you'd put that higher?
Yeah, higher. And Turkish Delight should be in the damn cat vomit tier.
Nah, I like Turkish Delight. Bruno hasn't even got a say in this. He hasn't got a say in this. But we'll start with the royalty tier. And Bruno, let's talk about roast almond.
Oh, yeah, roast almond. Like, because here's what you have with the roast almond, right? You've got, and especially if it's a warm day, you've got the Dairy Milk chocolate that's kind of getting a little bit soft, but then you've got the crispiness of the roast almond. It actually works really well. They're a lovely dancing duo, those guys. It's perfect.
I'm a big fan of roast almond. I want to say peppermint. I don't think I could eat a whole block of peppermint because it would get a little bit too much. But you've put that in royalty tier.
Yeah, okay. So can I just tell you, imagine this, right? Picture this. Everyone that's listening right now, even if you're driving, close your eyes, okay? Now picture this. It's a Saturday night. You're home alone. You're on your silk sheath. You get yourself a nice block of the Cadbury peppermint, right?
Yeah.
And what you do, you bite down on the square, like in the middle, right? So that it kind of, that delicious peppermint goo kind of oozes out. You then use your tongue to really just clean it all out, right?
Oh.
You lay back and you go, how good's life? And then guess what? You don't even have to brush your teeth because you've already got that minty fresh feeling.
Oh, I feel like I need a Kleenex.
Versatile. The most versatile of blocks that Cadbury has produced.
No.
I think it's when he said lick it out. Or words to the effect of that. I felt, you know, maybe I need to get a block of that. But next to it, the Black Forest in the royalty tier, that to me is pretty much fruit and nut without the nut.
Look, that's an interesting way, I guess, to look at it. No, look, it does come down to the simplicity of it, right? Just a few little pieces of jelly, a bit of biscuit, and it works, right? Like, sometimes I think that confectionery brands try too hard with having too many odd ingredients in it. But look, at the end of the day, jelly, biscuit, Dairy Milk chocolate, hey, it works.
Now, mad respect to the snack.
Is that all the different ones?
You get all the different ones in there. I like looking at the design on the top of the chocolate, which gives you an indicator of what you're going to get. I always look for a little bit of pineapple, then I go an orange cream, and then I go all of those. So it's a lot of fun. What are you looking at me like
that
for?
But it's like a box of roses. You know when you got your favourites that you want to go to, you just put the little pleb ones to the side. When you get a snack bar, if you've got the yucky ones like the pineapple, who wants to eat that?
No one gets left behind, Christy. No one gets left behind.
Wait. Hey, can I tell you? I'm going to agree with Christy on this, right? Like, I do like snack, but there is one particular chocolate within the snack squares that I can't stand. And you see, it's the iced coconut. That's the one that if I'm eating a block and then I hit the iced coconut, it's ruined my day. I'll throw the whole thing out and I'll go back to bed.
I forgot I hate coconut. I hate coconut. I hate little bits getting stuck in. Let's move to the God tier. This is the tip top of the top. Fruit and nut we already covered. Picnics in there. Christy, what do you reckon?
I don't mind nuts, but I think it's just a bit too gooey.
So you like nuts, but you don't like gooey.
What type of a show is this? This is bad for my image.
I don't know about that. Look, okay, we'll leave that there then, whatever. But the number one, and I had forgotten this until I saw the list, the Marvelous Creations, the jelly popping candy. It's a game changer.
Such a child, Bruno.
No, this was amazing because, look, on paper, this shouldn't work, right? If someone came up to me and said, look, we're going to jam in some squishy jelly and some popping rocks and we're going to throw it in milk chocolate, I'd be like, look, someone's escaped from the asylum and pretending to be, you know, a designer for the Cadbury Corporation. And yet, you eat it, I don't know, it worked. It's amazing. And the after effects of having those little popping rocks just jumping around your mouth, hey, that's kind of cool, right?
No. I'm sorry, Bruno, but how?
Just no. That was it.
I don't understand how you've self-labelled yourself the list king, because what science have you got behind this? Have you done any research? Have you asked the people what they think?
Now, here's the thing, right? The big mistake that you could do in making a list is asking anyone. You've got to back yourself. What I did, I bought two of each of those blocks. I tasted them. I made little notes. I even smelt them. I even did the thing that you do with wine where you spit it back out. And then I wrote my tasting notes based on that. And by the way, very offensive that you'd say that I'm the self-proclaimed list king. I don't think that's true. I feel that, you know, I was just going around doing my lists and the media branded me the list king. Hey, I'll run with it, but, you know.
I love it. It's like a Bible story. Two by two, the chocolates come into Bruno's ark and he just sits there and mungs on them and then decides which one's the best.
Yeah, how much bloody weight have you put on?
Oh, come on.
I am a mess. I'm a mess. Not long ago, I used to have maybe two or a four pack. maybe I'm even exaggerating, but now I'm disgusting.
Oh, it's just a chocolate bar.
I know. I totally know. I mean, I've got that beautiful V shape that everyone wants, so I can't really complain.
The
obviously,
U shape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it used to be kind of like a curvy W, like hamster's cheeks. I mean,
but you look good like that, Bodge. You know, if you lost that weight, it'd be like the Jonah Hill effect, where you wouldn't be good on the radio anymore. I think you've just got to stay where you are.
He needs to be the dad, Bodge.
I'd have the turkey like gobble underneath the chin. Do you know what I mean? The skin just flop.
I love that Bodge has the dad body without being a dad.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so far as we know.
Up with Christian Bodge on the Mid-North Coast's hit.
Fake news.
With Lee Jollo.
I used to look forward to this segment, Christy, and now I just don't want to do it.
You're dreading it, aren't you? Because
Lee Jollo,
you're absolutely amazing when it comes to writing up fake news.
Oh, thank you. It's an increasingly great segment in my eyes. Because, I mean, look at the scores there, Christy. What are they?
Oh, do you just want to brag about it, do you, Lee?
Yeah, let's have a little look. Let's examine this.
Currently, you're on top of the leaderboard with 4 points. I've got one point. And, Bodge, how many do you have?
Oh, I can't recall.
Zero.
In 2020,
round it up, the one.
So how it works
always round up.
Is Lee has three stories, one of them is fake, and we have to work out which one's fake. If neither you or I, Bodge, get it right, Lee then gets the point. And that is why he's leading, because he's so good at crafting up these stories.
I tell you what, the Mid-North Coast must have the most boring news going if he's got an imagination like this. He must sit there and just go, do you know what? I'm going to make a story. And he sits there and he scribbles on his bit of paper.
Oh, come on.
All right, three stories. Let's go with story number one.
Okay, so I apologise for this first one. Doctors have had to intervene after a bloke became so constipated he became paralysed in one leg.
I've had that happen.
The 53-year-old recently checked into an ED here in Australia, incidentally. His leg was cold and had no pulse. Doctors decided to operate and removed 2 litres of poop. He was given plenty of laxatives and finally able to walk again 4 days later.
What? Just looking backed up and just went down his leg and his leg was just chockers.
Yeah.
2 litres.
Pushing his spine in.
Oh, jeepers. Oh, you couldn't make it up unless you did. Right.
Yeah, so here's another one. US President Donald Trump has raised a few more eyebrows than usual with one of his tweets. He's already assuming he'll be re-elected as president in November and typed that in his second term, he'll depose North Korean tyrant Kim Jong-un. Trump offered no explanation as to how the dictator would be overthrown, but says coronavirus would likely get him first anyway. The nasty comments come off a breakdown in talks between the pair.
Wow. Do you know, the interesting thing with that is that I thought they were good friends, but that doesn't surprise me. Anything could come out of that man's mouth, mm-hmm. and you'd believe it.
Tomorrow they'll be mates again.
Yeah.
And doctors have performed brain surgery on a woman in London. All the while, she was not only conscious, but playing the violin. The woman had to have a tumour removed. Given her musical profession, surgeons had to ensure they weren't damaging the part of the brain being operated on. The surgery was a success, and the woman can continue to pursue her passion.
All right, now, this is what Lee does. He tells a story like that because he knows I'm going to go, that's way too weird to be true. Mm-hmm. But I bet that's true. What was A again? What was that one?
That was the constipated guy with the 2 litres of poo, and his leg was paralysed.
Poo is very appealing to me.
It's appealing.
Donnie Trump, I think, is probably, yeah. Well, we'll see.
I like that you're kind of telling me how you feel about it.
Am I? Or
is it a tactic of yours to make me maybe, be thrown off course?
Maybe.
He likes the mind games, doesn't he? But yeah. They haven't really been working lately.
No, not for you, Bodge. That's why you keep losing.
All
but
right.
Anyway.
Lee's going to count us down and we're going to say A, B or C to which story we think is fake. Let's do it.
Dokily. 3, 2, 1.
A.
Oh, crap.
Ah, it's been a while since we've chosen
did
the same
oh,
one.
Oh, crap. Nice.
I don't think he realised it was a pun intended.
What do we got?
Okie dokie, guys. The fake news story this week. B.
Why I hate you,
B. I hate you.
What happened, mate?
I hate your guts.
Oh, bad luck.
I love him at the same time, but I just get
crap
sick
happens.
Of this. Crap does happen.
The Mid-North Coast gets up with Christy and Budge.
On Hit FM. Trending right now. At Hit.
hits.com.au.
Last night, Russell Crowe tweeted a picture of him meeting with his local RFS who helped save his property and the township of Nana Glen. It's absolutely really, really sweet to see that he met with them and got to actually personally thank them for all that they did when they were fighting those fires on the Liberation Trail fire. They presented him, get this, with the gear worn by the last man to leave the property when the fire was controlled.
Yeah, it was in a nice frame, wasn't it? It was very nice. Very a lot of respect, because obviously Rusty raised a lot of money for them.
He did.
And, you know, it goes both ways. They looked after his place while he was away, and he just showed his gratitude, and they're doing it right back. I love it.
Yeah, so either it'll become something that he puts up as memorabilia in his pool room, or who knows, he may auction that one off to raise more funds. Yeah. Now, Princess Diana, some might still be fans, and if you are, there's handwritten letters from her that are going up for auction. They're set to fetch around $30,000. So Swan Auction Galleries.
Is that all?
I don't know if that's individual or the whole collection, because the Swan Auction Galleries have revealed a catalogue of Diana's letters detailing her excitement over a charity sale of her clothing that actually raised $3 million just before her death. Now, this particular charity years back, before she died, when it was a collection, it was dresses from her collection of Diana.
Right.
That was suggested by her son at the time, 14-year-old Prince William. He told her to do this charity sale event. And so then she personally wrote all these letters about how she felt about the situation. Like, I am so thrilled that you've invited me to New York for the evening of December 9th. She'd written, so you can get all those little personal handwritten notes in an auction.
She will always be the people's princess.
Oh, won't always. She? It's sad that it happened.
Can we talk about Spielberg and his thing, please?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg's 23-year-old daughter, Michaela, is revealed that she's now an adult star and wannabe exotic dancer. So she broke the news to her parents via FaceTime on the weekend, saying they were intrigued but not upset with the fact. But she did say in an interview this week, she came out to say producing solo adult videos has made her feel satisfied after having battled years of mental health issues.
Right.
What's your take on that?
Well, look, when I heard the news, I looked
for the videos,
just for, you know, research, obviously. I thought, well, we'll talk about it at some stage. So I did a Google search in my incognito tabs so that, you know, government can't follow me and whatever else. I was like, Steven Spielberg's daughter porn, just for research.
And
it just came up with articles about it. So either she hadn't done it yet or it's just been swamped out on the news feed with just stories about her dad. And you know what? I didn't even see anything about, like, I know he's a good director. I thought maybe he'll direct
I don't think that's going to happen. No, they're self-produced videos that she has.
What, you mean so, she holds the camera while she's...
Well, you put a tripod up and she's got a collection of them, and she actually had to submit an application to be a porn star. Oh, so you'll probably see them very soon.
is it just a yes or no box and you tick, do you want to be in porn? Yes. All right.
So Steven Spielberg's daughter, Michaela, an adult star.
It would be the ultimate professionalism for him to be able to block out the personal side of things, right, and just direct one scene.
No.
I'm just saying.
Don't do it. That's so incest. Don't do it.
I'm not saying he, no.
Can we move on? That's what's trending this morning.
The one to get up. A fresh way to get up. Christian Budge on Hit FM. Christian Budge's Alpha Bucks.
Oh, okay. Let's do this. $830. I want to give this away. Who have we got on the line?
We've got Bo in Port Macquarie. How are you feeling?
Oh, not confident, but I'll have a go.
It's all right, mate. It's all good. All right, Christy, what is today's letter?
Your letter, Bo, is K for Christy.
Yep.
And your time starts after this first question. Can you please name us something you might find in your pocket?
Keys.
Male music artist.
Pass.
A leader.
A leader?
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Something in the kitchen.
Knife.
Measurement.
Knot.
An animal.
King Parrot.
A Kardashian.
Kim.
Four-letter word.
King.
Oh, how many did we have left, Christy?
We had three more left.
Oh, God.
Now that we can go back to one of the earlier ones you passed on, a male music artist, Kanye. Who would you say? Hey, I didn't ask you, Budge.
Sorry.
I would say nobody, because I don't know.
Kanye West.
Kanye West. Keith Urban, Kurt Cobain.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. There's heaps of them.
Hit FM with Christy and Budge. A fresh way to get up. On your radio.
I'm just flicking through the local paper, one of the local papers. We get about four or five of them here. And just looking through the Port News, as I do of a morning, like with the other papers. And there's a picture of a lady throwing an empty keg, right, as part of a competition. I won't say which, because, you know, it doesn't matter. But there's a picture of me in the background holding a microphone because I was emceeing that event. And it's from 2 or 3 years ago. I'm not sure how long.
You've made the newspaper. First, are you going to keep that in your little scrapbook?
First time I've made the newspaper, and it's literally, actually, it might not be the first time. I think someone ragged on me once in a Tamworth newspaper.
Oh,
because
really?
I said something about them. I don't care.
The first time here on the Mid-North Coast if you've actually...
Yeah, and it's a photo from a couple
of years
ago.
It's not even at the front page, Bodge.
Oh, come on.
It's
just,
like halfway through to the back. Oh,
I'm not saying...
God, you looked much younger and skinnier there.
I was. That's why I'm okay with the photo. Yeah, I've got loads of old photos people can use. It's like when you go on, you know, Tinder or those dating sites, you put your best photos up from 10 years ago and then they see and they're like, oh, hang on.
You know what's really
awkward,
though?
Something's not right here.
They never made mention of you.
Good, I'm glad.
Normally in the photo it's like, oh, who's in the picture?
Do you know what?
Jason Bodger.
It's a good photo of her throwing that keg. Like, yeah. It's a good action
shot. Go the
shot.
Guns.
I just happen to be in the background.
Get up with Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast Hit FM.
I don't like buying anything online. I fear that I'm going to get something turned up that it's completely wrong or the wrong size. The only thing I've ever bought online before is fancy dress costumes. And they've never come back the way that I thought they looked. They've never come back the size that I wanted. And it's a real major issue. And you, my friend, are completely different to me. You will buy things online each and every day. You'll buy multiple items every day.
Only old school video games because I collect them and I resell them. But I'm with you because it was only the other day, 2 or 3 days ago, I said to you, a game had rocked up and it had the Australian packaging on, right?
Mm.
But inside, the actual game was the US version, which is incompatible with Australian.
No.
So I was furious about that because I'd spent quite a bit of money on it.
Well, this is the thing. You go and buy at a store, you get to see face-to-face exactly what you're going to get, and if you make the mistake of getting the wrong thing, well, that's on you. I just hate the fact that sometimes you can't return something or it costs you money to return it. So it's a major issue for me, and that's why I refuse to buy online. So we have asked the question, have you bought anything online and something totally different turned up? And Kylie joins us this morning. You've had this happen to you.
Well, it's actually to my husband, but yeah, quite a fun experience for him. So he's banned from online shopping ever, unsupervised. So
what do you mean he's banned?
You've banned him?
Yeah, I've banned him, yes.
What's he done?
So the first time was for his birthday last year. He's a big Marvel geek, so we went down to Supernova and we dressed up in cosplay. And he went to buy a Venom mask online and absolutely amazing. Cost about $120. And when it got delivered, it was like a $2 cheap reject mask. So he was not impressed. And the second time is when I told him he's unsupervised is he has a nephew who loves Spider-Man. So he went to buy a motorized little car for him in Spider-Man. It was from a New Zealand site. When he got it, it was a Fendi beanie, and it cost about $160. So
hang on, sorry, what was it? What came instead of it?
A Fendi beanie, like a beanie you wear on your head.
A beanie rocked up.
Instead of a remote control car.
Up, instead of the remote control car. So
how, they're not even the same thing. How does a business get this completely wrong? Or is it like a hack in the system?
I have no idea. And when I looked at the website, it was a New Zealand website. And when he showed me the payment, it came from Indonesia. And I work in banking and finance. And I went, sorry, honey, you got scammed. So,
Do you know what? I've been in similar situations to that before as well. When the World Cup was on about 10 years ago, I bought one of the soccer balls. I forget what they were called, but they were special ones with little indentations in. Didn't rock up, and then even worse, because it had been bounced around to different countries, the payment, even PayPal couldn't sort it out.
Yeah, we were lucky PayPal sorted out the beanie, and I was lucky because my bank, because we, you know, he emailed the website about the car and didn't get a reply, and we were able to get the money back through our bank, which is amazing, but... I mean, I have a separate account for online. I do a lot of online shopping and, I mean, I've got things that aren't right and things like that. But you just have to be careful, unfortunately. So
yeah, you do.
I stick with the banking, and my husband is a chef, so he will stick with the cooking.
I just love that you've totally banned him from buying online. It's not even his mistake. You're a harsh wife.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I said to him, he can stick with cooking because he's one of the amazing chefs on the mid-North Coast, I think, anyway.
Oh, so. Isn't that sweet?
Are you biased, though?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
I tell him when it's shit.
Oh, stay on. Oh, fair enough.
Well, thank you, Kylie. Fingers crossed, though, one day you'll let him buy online again and the right thing does show up.
I might give him a pass one day, but at the moment, yeah, he's not allowed to shop online unsupervised. So,
I got similar rules as well. I'm not allowed to buy from eBay anymore. Kylie, thank you for the call, mate, and we appreciate that story. Jeepers, imagine getting a beanie in the mail.
I know, when you spend $160, it's not worth it. It's just like you. You bought something months and months and months ago and it still hasn't showed up on the front door.
Correct. Yeah, I'm still waiting for it. But I think that was a post-related incident.
See, buying online, it's the worst thing on earth. Don't
always
do it.
Always get a tracking number.
Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
I have a bragging moment, Budge, and one that I think you'll actually be pretty impressed by. You know the Bonds baby search?
I thought it was going to be gym-related, like you benched 150 or something like that. I was going to be like, oh, yeah, go.
Well, I don't need to brag about that. You know that I'm better in that department than you, but anyway. No, the Bonds baby search that they do each and every year.
Is that one again?
Yeah, where you upload your image of your baby and people vote for the best ones. And I think there's like daily winners, and then there's the overall three winners at the end of it, which is the start of March that they're going to reveal those winners. But they have the fur baby category, which, of course, I couldn't help but register my puppy dog, Bella.
How old is she, though? Does she make the cut?
She's 7.5 months, so she's still a puppy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, she doesn't look as cute as the little ones that are on there. But I noticed one thing when I registered her was that there was a heck ton of Bellas that are in there. So when you want to go and search for a dog, you search for their name, and it either filters for the whole country, and there's lots in there, or you can narrow it down to the state. There's still a stack ton as well of Bellas that are there. And this is what Bond's Baby Search have done. They've just revealed the top 10 names when it comes to baby girls, baby boys, and fur babies.
Yeah.
And guess who makes the top 10 list for fur baby names for the year?
Probably one of the more common ones, like Bella.
Yeah, she's number 6 in the lineup. But can you believe it? Our boss, Crowy, his damn dog's name, Luna, makes number 1.
Really?
Yeah, she took out top spot. And I know Luna's a cutie. And it was a name that I actually considered naming Bella.
I feel like you're taking credit for this. Like it's just your dog. You know, you just said it was thousands of dogs with the same name that can, like, take this credit.
Oh, of course. But I'm proud as punch that her name makes the top 10 list. And it is. It's where they get their information from is based on all the entries and the most popular names that have entered into the competition.
Well, so you had to search her by name and then find her picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you just search it by the brand of dog she is? She's like a Stiffy or a Staffy.
She's a
girl, by the way, so she can't get one of those.
Oh, God.
She's a Staffy.
No, that's not how it works. If I did it correctly, I would have searched for Bella G because she's Bella Giles after Michael's last name.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, if you do want to see Bella, go and search Bella G in New South Wales. Oh. You see her cutie patootie on there. Hopefully she takes out top billing when it comes to the better-looking fur babies that are out there in the country.
When you find out whether she makes the list?
Well, March 6 is the overall winners will be revealed, but there are daily winners, so get up there and vote. I want Bella to win.
Do you know what that means? I actually don't like this time of the year because people post on their timeline, please vote for my baby.
Here's a picture of
my baby. Did you know about my baby? And they just post it. You just go skip, unfollow, unfriend. Block.
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Budge.
On Hit FM. We are playing Have You Been Paying Attention? It is very crucial to catch up on the show all the week, because I've got 3 things that happened throughout the show all this week, and if you get at least 2 of them right, you'll walk away a winner.
And all you do is you go to hit.com.au and you just click on like the catch-up podcast. You have to listen to that even if you don't listen throughout the day.
Exactly.
And then, you can catch up like that, and then you can play this game to the best of your ability.
Well, Michelle in Port Macquarie, have you been paying attention?
Yes and no.
Oh, that right. sounds very much like me. Best of three, all you have to do is get 2 out of 3. Very easy, then you get the Nitro Circus tickets.
So Bodge wrote a love letter to his very first Holden. What brand was it, Michelle? Or model?
Car shape.
Car shape? No, no, no. What what kind of Holden did I have?
I have no
I'll
idea.
I'll give you the year, all right? 1987.
I don't know cars at all.
That's all right.
Well, what colour was it?
Orange?
No, it wasn't.
What was it, Bodge?
It was a VL Calais, and it was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, all right? It was,
yeah, I would never have guessed that.
It was two-tone, and it was just, it was burgundy on top and silver on the bottom, and it was the most beautiful car ever. Then it got hit a few times, and I wasn't allowed to drive it anymore. So there you go.
That's all right. You've got two more shots here, Michelle. Which okay. AFL team surprised us with a sneaky visit this week?
Swans.
Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely nice. Right.
And last one. Yesterday, I brought in my pet bird, Cheddar. He sung a famous TV show theme song. What was it?
Don't give hints.
Don't give hints, please.
What was the name of that hand that used to run around as well on the floor? I don't know.
The Addams Family.
Yeah. There we go. Well done. And he absolutely nailed it as well, though, Bodge.
No, he didn't.
To think
no.
that he got it wrong.
Your
he gets
bird
it mixed up sometimes.
Got a couple of notes wrong, and I called him on it.
Well done, Michelle. You are now going to see Nitro Circus live there, coming to Port Macquarie March 21. Who are you going to take?
My 17-year-old daughter has actually been asking to go. So.
Oh, wow.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Cool.
Well, nice surprise for her today.
Yes, it will be a huge surprise.
Gives you a bartering chip as well to make her do her homework and everything.
On the bus.
Unless she what, sorry?
Unless she's listening to this on the bus and then she's going to go, oh, my God.
Oh, she'll, like, get this uproar from all the kids on the bus going, I'm so jealous.
What's her name?
Georgia.
Right, Georgia, if you're listening on the bus, you go on a Nitro Circus, pal. There you go.
Thanks,
that's all we got.
Oh, she's
going
to have the best day at school now. The one to get
up. A fresh way to get up. Christian Barge on Hit FM. Married at First Sight, obviously the drama juggernaut that keeps on going. There is a lot more to it than we see on the TV. And Sean Thompson, who is of MAFS fame, he actually sent me a copy of his brand new book, which we're going to talk to him about right now. Sean, good morning, buddy. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on your memoir.
Thank you.
It's called Married Lies, Secrets Behind Reality TV, Overcoming Adversity and Discovering Transformation. I'm 2 chapters in at the moment, and it sounds like it's going to end on a kind of a positive note, because with the Discovering Transformation, I feel like maybe you've come through all the bad stuff. Am I right?
Yeah, it's kind of like going through and relieving old blind spots probably caused by the show. And it brings up a lot of things that, you know, you haven't dealt with, probably. Yeah. And, going through public scrutiny and having other people, you know, pick out little bits and pieces about you that you never actually saw. Yeah, it's kind of, it's not just about the show. It's a bit of a self-development book as well. So,
yeah. I've got to ask, because there's a lot of contracted ex-MAF stars. How were you allowed to release the information? Mm. Was there like a end of the contract where you're allowed to talk about it now, or have you done it in such a way where maybe the lawyers have gone over and said, yeah, this is fine, or...?
Yeah, a bit of both. I think it's like a couple of years, and then I had my lawyers have a look at it and just nitpick and take out a few bits, unfortunately. So, but it still captures the essence of what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And you went through a lot in the series yourself, so I'm sure you put that to paper, where obviously you ditched your original wife, ended up with Tracy, but you don't speak anymore with Tracy. What's going on?
Instead of just to cut ties on with our relationship, it wasn't built on the right foundation. And that's the problem with that show. Like, that's why you don't see any relationships really work.
Yeah. Is it something maybe that could be repaired in time, considering you're both kind of recovering in the same sort of way? Do you think maybe there's an olive branch down the track?
Oh, who knows?
That'd be nice, I think.
Who knows? Well, look, maybe.
With the book, and we've got to wrap it up. I'm so sorry because of the news, but we will talk to you next week if you're free. With the book, it does talk about the bullying, lies, and manipulation that you've alleged against against Married at First Sight. How do you feel with everything that's happening with Poppy and Luke with that whole scenario?
Yeah, well, I actually saw Poppy on the weekend.
And I said,
look, you pretty much only got one opportunity to kind of say your piece.
Yeah.
So you might as well get it out and, you know, kind of, you know, say what's on your mind and how it was portrayed, because we're only seeing, like, a fraction of probably what happens. And and there's kind of like the three main characters, I guess, like couple characters on the show so far, and everyone else is kind of cannon fodder, I guess.
Okay. Well, it's our listeners like hearing the interviews, obviously, but everyone's very cautious of what they can and can't say. Obviously, they don't want to reveal spoilers and that, but some people do go on there to find love. There's a lot of people that don't, and it's a bit sad for the ones that are there just to instigate, because I think they probably make it harder for those that do genuinely want to find someone special. A bit hard.
Yeah. Well, look at the dinner parties. Like, people change their whole demeanor.
Yep.
Like, they're nice and caring and I love you, and then next minute, it's a crazy environment. It does play some weird things here into your mind and what you think you have to do to...
Are you free next week for a chat? Is that cool?
Yeah. No problem. Because
we're getting a tap on the window from our newsman saying, I've got a bulletin to do. So we're getting in strife already.
They're very late.
But hey...
talking about Married at First Sight.
I know. But you know what? I'm going to have your book read by the time we chat to you next. I've got the weekend to read it. I am keen. I've done two chapters already. I am really getting stuck into it, mate. So well done on the release of the book. I hope you don't get in there any legal trouble with maths. Let's see if he knows what's going on. Well, have a good weekend, okay?
You too.
Thanks, John.
Brother.
If you want more of Christy and Budge, catch up on the podcast at hit.com.au or hear them live weekday mornings from 6 on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.